So I'm thankful just to be a part of this conference. Now, I'm not going to waste any time on pleasantries. I got to get moving because I'm afraid I could get long-winded. Don't panic. I'll edit as we go. But it's going to be your misfortune for me to try to preach two sermons in one tonight, if I can, and kind of compress it down for you. And again, don't panic. I'll edit again as much as I can. My text is the first seven verses here of 1 Peter chapter number 3. But there's really just one phrase that captured my attention in verse number 7. And I ended up preaching two messages from that one phrase. I really should have preached probably three or four messages from it. But I preached two messages from that, and I'm going to try to condense it for you tonight if I can. Verse number 7, let me just read the entire verse. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I tell you the phrase that got a hold of me a little bit and shook me up when Peter says there that we are heirs together. I want you to think about that with me tonight, and I want to share a few things with you if I can. That we are heirs together, Peter said, of the grace of life. I got to tell you, folks, that is a profound statement. It is a profound thought, if you really think about it. That as husband and wife, Belinda and I are said to be heirs together. Have you ever really rolled that over in your mind? We are heirs together of the grace of life. That it is no longer just she and I. It is we. It is us, you understand. I mean, you might say she is now me and me is now she. That's not good grammar, I know that, but I want to tell you that make for a fantastic marriage if we get that into our heart. And so I want you to think about just that phrase. We are heirs together. I got to tell you, the devil is attacking the home today like perhaps never before. I think it's very sad that the divorce rate among churchgoers is just as high as it is among non-churchgoers. You know, the devil is attacking our home. I suppose a good way to start this out and be honest, folks, there is no such thing, I understand this, as a perfect marriage on this earth. You know, no such thing. I read one time about a story about this perfect man, and he met this perfect girl, and they began to have a courtship. And guess what? It was a perfect courtship. So they decided to get married, and of course the wedding was perfect, and their life together after that, being a perfect man and a perfect woman was, of course, it was perfect, you say. Well, one day, the story goes, in the wintertime, this perfect couple decided to go for a drive to see the winter scenery. And so they get into their car, and they're driving down the road, and they see a man in a red suit standing on the side of the road. And they pull up next to him, and lo and behold, it's Santa Claus. Now, Santa Claus tells this perfect couple that he had a wreck, and his sleigh was so damaged, and so being the perfect couple, they decided to help Santa Claus out, you know. And they take off with Santa Claus in the car, but unfortunately, as they were driving along, the conditions of the road began to deteriorate rapidly, and this perfect couple and Santa Claus had a car wreck themselves. And only one of them survived. Now, can you guess who it was, the only survivor? Well, the answer is it was the perfect woman. And the reason is, everybody knows there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And every woman knows there's no such thing as a perfect man. So it was the perfect woman that survived the car wreck. Now, the male response to that said, if that's be the case, that meant that the woman, perfect woman was driving, and that's why they wrecked to start with, you know. Now, folks, there is no such thing as a perfect marriage. Whenever you take an imperfect man and an imperfect woman and you put them together in the same roof, you're going to have problems sometimes. Somebody said that marriage is kind of like twirling a baton or doing handsprings or eating with chopsticks. You know, it looks easy until you try it. You know, one writer said that marriage will teach you patience. It will teach you forbearance. It will teach you long-suffering and a lot of other things you wouldn't need if you just stay single, you know. Whenever you put a man and a woman together and expect them to live under the same roof for several years, you got a lot of potential for challenges, you understand. Folks, we are different we are different creatures. I want you to understand that. I am convinced, by the way, that computers are female. I'm convinced of that. And I'll give you three reasons for that. Number one, I'm convinced that computers are female because every little error you make is stored in long-term memory for later retrieval. Computers are female, aren't they? The second reason is that computers are female. As soon as you commit to one, you can spend half your paycheck on accessories for it. So, I know they're female. And the third reason is that the language they use to talk to other computers is incomprehensible to everybody else. So computers are female. Now, I just in the interest of fairness, the female response to that, they said they're convinced that computers are male. And the reason for that is they have a lot of data, but they're still clueless, you know. So they know computers are male. And the second reason is that they're supposed to help solve problems, and half the time they are the problem. That's why computers are male. And the third reason ladies are convinced that computers are male is that as soon as you commit to one, you realize if you waited a little longer, you could have got a better model. Yeah. The ladies liked that one, didn't they? Now we can have, you got to have a little fun. We can have all kinds of fun pointing out the difference. Hey, guess what? There's differences. I don't care what the liberal, I like the differences. Amen. I do. I don't care what the liberals say. Men and women are different creatures. How can you women stand kissing a hairy-faced man? I just don't get it. You know, folks, the problem is everybody and their uncle today comes out and considers himself to be an expert on marriage. And we got church members spending their money buying these stupid books, you know, and buying these books and going to these seminars. Hey, folks, God is the only expert on marriage. Amen. Can I say to you, church members, Christian people, this book is the only book we need on marriage. Amen. You know, I can save you a lot of money tonight if you just listen to me. I got two main points. I want to kind of condense down a little bit what God has to say about marriage. I only got 2 points. That shouldn't scare you too much. Being a Baptist preacher, I got about a half a dozen or more sub-points. But I got 2 main points I want you to keep in mind. I'll save you a lot of money. Keep these 2 things in mind. Folks, if you want to have a healthy marriage, and if you want to have a happy marriage, here it is. Number one, wives, be respectful to your husbands. Number two, husbands, you be regardful of your wife. Now that's it. That's my 2 main points. But it would save you a lot of money and a lot of heartache if you put these 2 things in practice. Number one, listen, wives, be respectful to your husbands. Now, Peter said it like this in verse number 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Hey, can I say this to you folks? You cannot, I don't care whether you like that or not, you cannot change the Word of God. You certainly cannot improve on the Word of God. Ladies, if you want a happy marriage, if you want a healthy marriage, if you want a holy marriage, one that is pleasing to God, here's what you got to learn to do. You learn to be in subjection to your own husbands. It would cure a lot of ills in our homes if ladies would learn to practice that. Now you may say, well, I don't like that. It really doesn't matter whether you like that or not. You may say, well, he doesn't deserve for me to be in subjection to him. Let me ask you a question. Why did you marry that knothead to start with? You married him. You married him. It's your fault. So now you learn to be in subjection to him. Isn't that what the Bible says? Did I change anything in what Peter said? Wives, you be in subjections to your own husbands. Wives, if you want a happy marriage, you learn to be respectful. By the way, that's not the only place that the Bible says that. It says it several times. The Apostle Paul, of course, said, wives, you submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Hey, ladies, that gets pretty serious. In other words, just in the same fashion you have submitted yourself unto the Lord, that is in like fashion you ought to submit yourselves to your husbands. Now, don't try to tell me you're a great Christian if you are henpecking your husband. Laughing stops, doesn't it? Paul said later on in the book of Colossians, wives, you submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Ladies, quit listening to Oprah Winfrey. Quit listening to these other nut jobs from Hollywood. And start listening to God. You ask God to give you the grace and the strength to learn to be in subjection to your husband. Now, I know that these verses, and we quote these verses, I know these are the favorite verses of these stupid men who want to try to dominate their wives. You know. Hey, fellas, if you've got to convince your wife that you're in charge, it ain't happening. If you like to remind your wife all the time, you got to submit to me, guess what? It's not happening. Or if you want to convince your wife that I am the boss, you're just kidding yourself. It's not happening. One of my favorite statements Zig Ziglar made one time, he said, listen, if you think you're a leader and you look around and nobody's behind you, you're not leading, you're just out for a walk. Hey, folks, the Bible does say, however, that you ought to be in subjection. But I tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean what these nod-headed men try to make it mean. It's not about who's in charge. It's not about who's the boss. It's more about who's responsible. It's more about God's order. Right? We'll get to the gentleman in a minute. But wives, it does say you be in subjection to your own husband. Now, I've got three things I want to add under this heading. If you have trouble with this principle and this precept, let me give you three principles to keep in mind. And I want you to jot these down, ladies, and I think you'll find them to be true. It'll help you live up to this principle. The first principle is this. The first principle I think you need to live up to is this. Submission surpasses selfishness. Now, write that down, and let me say it again and explain what I mean. Submission surpasses selfishness. Now, what I mean by that is that the word submit and the word subject, they're very similar in nature. It literally carries the idea of subjecting yourself in order to please another. You know what that means, ladies? It's not about you. You got to get over yourself. Don't listen to these lying marriage counselors that says you got to just fulfill your own needs. No. It's not about you anymore. You subject yourself in order to please another. And ladies, if you will not do that, it is because you are a very selfish individual. Well, that's what's destroying so many of our marriages. You're selfish. It might help you to understand that that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. When Brother Jerry's talking about the incarnation of Christ, it boggles the mind. It really does. It boggles the imagination that with Christ, the entire time He walked about in a human body upon this earth, He submitted Himself to His Heavenly Father. It has nothing to do with how superior or inferior a person is. It is all about a place of service, God's order, you see. Surely you don't think that that meant that the Father was superior to the Son, because He was not. Surely you don't think that somehow that made Christ somehow a second-class citizen compared to the Father. No. He was equal in every divine attribute. But it spoke of a place of order. Can I say this to you? God is a God of order. He is. The Apostle Paul said one time, I have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. It's not at all about superiority or being inferior or superior. It is God's place for you. Am I making sense of what I'm trying to say? It's not about who's the boss. It's God's place. I read about two lines of men in heaven one time. You may have heard this about one line was for henpecked husbands, and the other line was for the domineering husbands. And the henpecked line stretched for miles and miles and miles and miles. And there's only one little skinny looking fellow standing in the dominant husband line. And an angel kind of curious about that, he went over and asked him, he said, what are you doing? How come you're the only one standing in this line? And the little man just smiled and says, because my wife told me to stand here. Yeah. Preacher told a story one time. He said, taught it for a true story. He always had people fill out forms when they wanted, requesting to do a marriage service for them. And he had a series of questions on it. And so this young couple come to see him, and they were filling out the form. And one of the questions asked it, are you entering into this relationship of your own free will? And the young man stopped when he got down to it, looked over at his fiance, and she said, just put down yes. Yeah. Ladies, you learn submission surpasses selfishness. That's the first principle I want you to put down. The second principle, and I got to move through these quickly. I'm editing, believe it or not. The second principle I want you to put down is this. In order to live up to this, for women, you respect the husbands God gave you, is behavior beats badgering. Now write that one down. And you say, what do you mean by that? Behavior beats badgering. I tell you what I mean by that. Quit trying to change your husband. Quit criticizing him. Listen, God did not call you to be your husband's conscience. God didn't call you to be his mother. You heard about the women's conference going on one time, and the woman who was talking to the ladies there and said, how many of you want to mother your children? And all the ladies sat there, but one woman in the back stuck her hand up. She said, ma'am, you mean you want to mother your husband? She said, mother? I thought she said smother. Yeah. Ladies, God did not call you to be his conscience. God didn't call you to be his mother. God's called you to be his wife. They interviewed Ruth Graham one time, and I don't really like hardly anything Billy Graham stood for, but one thing you can say about Billy Graham, you didn't hear many sexual scandals coming out of Billy Graham's household. And they interviewed Ruth Graham one time and asked her how she could have such a long and successful marriage, in that pressure that they were under. And she said, it's quite simple. I learned a long time ago that I was not supposed to change Billy. I was just supposed to love Billy. Amen. It'll help you a lot, ladies. Quit badgering. Don't criticize your husband too much. Listen, it tears a man's heart out to have his wife constantly being critical of him. Sure does.
You might say, well, he gives me a lot of ammunition. Again, I'd ask you, why did you marry the knothead to start with? You know?
You hear about the woman who went down to the police station to report her husband missing, and they asked him to describe, asked her to describe him. She said, well, he's 34, he's about 6'4" and athletic and slim and handsome. And one of the policemen was there and said, ma'am, wait a minute, I know your husband. He's 50-some years old, he's balding and he's fat. She said, I know that, but who wants him back? You know. I ain't much, but I've all Belinda's got, you know. Behavior beats badgering. You love your husband. Brag on your husband. Even if you got to make it up, brag on your husband. The third thing, quickly, principle I want you to keep in mind, in order to live up to this precept, character always crowns cosmetics. Now, let me say that again. Character always crowns cosmetics. You say, what do you mean by that? I got a newsflash for you. Outward beauty fades quickly. Sure does. You know what our problem is? We're watching too much of the boob tube. That's what's hurt many of our marriages. You expect somehow this Hollywood-type romance. Listen, if you married a frog and you hope he turns into a prince, it only happens in fairy tales. He's going to stay a frog. There's an old air proverb. An old air proverb that says that marriage starts out with a prince kissing an angel. Ends up with a bald man looking at a fat woman. Now, I didn't say it. Old Arab said that. Wives, be respectful to your husbands. I tell you what. Instead of trying to change him, how about asking God to change you? Lord, help me to be the wife you want me to be. It'd be amazing. Wives, be respectful. Number two, husbands, be regardful. Now, listen to this again. He says in verse number 7, giving honor unto the wife. Listen to that again, gentlemen. Giving honor unto the wife. Listen to the whole verse. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. You catch this last phrase, that your prayers be not hindered. Gentlemen, don't try to act like a great servant of God if you're treating your wife like a second-class citizen. I know fellows who try to pastor churches, and they have a miserable home life. They got a miserable wife, and if you got a miserable wife, you're going to have a miserable life. Yeah. Let me tell you something, gentlemen. You're not qualified to be in the pulpits if you treat your wife like a second-class citizen. Amen. I tell every young preacher this. Fellas, if you don't have a happy home life, for heaven's sake, don't bring that mess into God's house. Don't try to stand in the pulpit. There's a lot of men, I'm afraid, standing in the pulpits really are disqualified from being in the pulpits. They don't know how to treat their wives. Amen. Gentlemen, give honor. See, to me, the onus is on the husband more than it is the wife. The responsibility lies mostly with the husband. Gentlemen, give honor unto your wife. You say, well, she don't deserve honor. God says differently. Their responsibility and onus is on the husbands. Now, gentlemen, I gave the ladies three principles. Let me give you three principles. It would help you live up to this principle if I can. The first one may sound funny, but listen to me, gentlemen. If you want to live up to that principle of husbands, you be regard for your wife, keep this first principle in mind. Intimacy beats isolation. You say, now what do you mean by that? Intimacy really inhibits isolation, is the way I should put that. What I mean by that, catch the first phrase. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Catch that first part. Dwell with them. Speaks of intimacy, doesn't it? You know what the problem is? We got a lot of couples trying to live separately under the same roof. I know. Now, some of you practice this. I'm going to say it anyway. If some of you practice this, that's okay. I know of Christian couples who try to live almost separate lives. They got separate friends. They got separate hobbies. They got separate bank accounts. You know what? It does not work. Dwell with them. It speaks of intimacy. Fellas, if the only time you are intimate with your wife is when you're expecting sexual favors, you are a miserable, miserable husband. Amen. You are a shell of a man. Amen. You be intimate. You say, what? Many of you don't know what that means, unfortunately, and some fellas don't want to know what that means. Let me help you out a little bit. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and his father and shall cleave unto his wife, and these two shall be one flesh. Right? You mean intimacy will inhibit isolation. You be intimate with your wife. You say, what does that mean? I'll tell you, let me give you three ideas very quickly. Number one, it speaks of friendship. You know what it took me a little while in my marriage. My wife is the best friend I've got in this world. Amen. She's my best friend. You know what I discovered? The older I get, I don't need near as much guy time as I thought I did. Some of you fellas have a rotten home life because you spend more time with the guys. Belinda Collins is my best friend. You know what? I can tell things to Belinda that I can't tell anybody else. And she never calls me a sissy. If my feelings get hurt by somebody at church, and it does sometimes, and I can tell Belinda about that, she ain't saying, well, you're just being a big old sissy about it. Now, she might think that sometimes, but she doesn't tell me that. She doesn't say, just be a man, She might want to say that sometimes, but she never does. I can tell her things that I don't tell anybody else. Gentlemen, intimacy involves friendship. Amen. I want to spend time with my wife. Amen. I do. It also not only speaks of friendship, it speaks of a partnership. That's really what intimacy is. Let me tell you what. Belinda is not my employee. I am not her boss. She is not my maid. She is not my... I got an idea, fellas. Clean house a little bit yourself sometimes. See how you like it. Pays off wonderful dividends. Sure does. Try cooking a little bit for yourself every now and then. She is my partner. You understand? Intimacy involves friendship. It involves a partnership. It involves courtship. I wonder how many of you husbands know how to court your wife. Court your wives. You heard the story about the old fellow who and his wife went to see a marriage counselor, and didn't take the marriage counselor long to figure out the problem was with the husband, didn't show any attention to his wife. And he couldn't get it through that man's thick head. Some of you fellas got a thick head. And so he tried to get it in his head and he couldn't. So he just reached over and picked the man's wife up and gave her a big old hug and a kiss and said, see there? That's what she needs. She needs that several times a week. At least three times a week your wife needs it. He said, all right, Doc, I'll bring it to you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yeah. He didn't get it, did he? How many times a day do you tell your wife you love her? Gentlemen, I hope you're not dumb enough. I hope you're not dumb enough to say, well, she ought to know it. How does she know it? I tell my wife I love her so many times a day. You say, well, I'm just not like that. Well, then change. Amen. Change. Amen. Tell your wife you love her. Show her you love her. Telling you, Intimacy inhibits isolation. Try that principle. The second principle, gentlemen, is this. Caring crowns comfort. You see, what do you mean by that? I mean by that, fellas, you get to the place where it's not about you. It's all about your wife. You know? It's not about your happiness. It's about your wife's happiness. Quit criticizing your wife. The phrase here, giving honor, is an interesting word. The word honor is an interesting word. I'm told it's from the same root word that the word precious is from in chapter 1 when he talks about the precious blood of Christ. You know what that means? You consider your wife precious. I consider my wife a gift. I tell all the time, I thank God for you. I thank God for my wife. Consider her a gift. Quit criticizing your wife. Don't throw off on her cooking. You're an idiot. When I first got married, it's a necessity in West Virginia that the woman knows how to make bread. Cornbread, biscuits, that's bread. I don't know what any other kind of bread there is, but cornbread and biscuits. And Belinda's first few months attempts at biscuits, it was a sight to behold. I'm not kidding. It was like hockey pucks. And you say, what'd you do? I ate them. And I bragged on them. And you know what? She got better biscuits. She got better at making biscuits. Don't criticize your wife. Don't put your wife down. There's an old saying said to keep your marriage brimming with love in a loving cup. When you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. If you learn that, fellas, you'd be better off. Do you want to be right or you want to be happy? Yeah. By the way, it might be a good place to remind you how many times the Bible talks about this. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. You know what? Preachers, I think we need to quit preaching so much on the necessity of women being in subjection and teach our knot-headed husbands how to love their wives. Because if husbands would love their wives with the same passion that Christ loved his church, I think the rest of it would take care of itself. Makes sense. Third principle, and I'll quit. I know I'm getting long-winded. Third principle, gentlemen, you need to keep in mind. Respect relinquishes rights. In other words, it's not about you. It's not about who's in charge. Not about who's in charge at all. I'll give you, here's a profound thought. I don't have profound bone in my body. Fellas, write this down, and you'll have a good marriage. If you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, you won't be married to a nag. Right? You know, there was a study done. It kind of hurt my feelings. But I had to admit it's true. USA Today did a study about who makes what decisions in the home. And it was, and through that study, they determined that the wives make the decisions, usually do with the household, you know, what we're having for dinner, and taking care of the children, and they make all the decisions in that regards about the house. And then the husband and the wives together, they decided to make the big decisions on finances and insurances and things like that. They make them together. You know what they found out the husband's main decision was? What to watch on TV. I had to say, that's right. That remote is mine. I'm not kidding. When I come home, Belinda hands me the remote. I'm not kidding. See, fellas, the one thing women don't know how to do is work a remote. Because I don't like watching commercials. And I can be watching a show, and I've got it down, man. I can flip over to something else and time it just when that commercial's over, and I can flip. Women can't do that. So I got charge of the remote in my home. I had to admit that's about right. Fellas, if you have got to try to convince your wife you're the boss. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. Now, I just tell you, it would save us a lot of money buying these stupid books if we just remember those two principles. Wives, you be respectful to the husband God's given you. Don't criticize him. Quit trying to change him. You live in subjection and submission to the husband God has given to you. Husbands, you be regardful for your wife. You treat her as something precious. You honor her. That's what it means. You love her as Christ loved the church. I'm just telling you, folks, the devil is attacking our homes. And he's very successful. Sure is. One thing Charles Stanley said, I think it's about the only thing he ever said I liked. But he said, you know what, when it comes to marriage, it's not so much about picking the right partner as it is about you being the right partner. It's time. We spend a lot of time in prayer. I'll tell you what, the devil is doing a lot of damage in our churches because he's attacking the families. Divorce is just as rampant among our Baptist churches as it is in the world. Better be some time that we spend on our knees. Ladies, you ask God to make you the kind of wife that you ought to be. That you submit yourself to the husband. God, give me the grace and the strength to learn submission and subjection to my husband. Gentlemen, you ask God to make you the kind of husband you ought to be. You love that woman. I confess to you publicly, I love my wife with a passion that I can't even begin to express. If you love your wives, ask God to help you to be the husband you ought to be. I think God can do amazing things like it. I'm done, brother. I'm sorry. God bless you. Amen. Bless you, brother.